caravans on the mountains, one pair of hands on the sea, one pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world on WWCR 5890, also simulcast on WWCR. We've got a great program for you. I want you to stay tuned. Conclusive proof that the 24-hour day cannot begin at sunrise. Or you solar sunrisers that start today, or you solar midnighters that start today, or if you use any other time than what the Bible would conclusively prove, we think you need to repent and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, let me give you the following scriptures that proves that the day cannot begin at sunrise, or Yahweh would be guilty of breaking his own law and teaching his children of Israel to do the same thing. Yahweh is not the minister of sin or breaking his own law. Exodus, the 16th chapter, we're going tonight to conclusively pinpoint a weekly Sabbath on the 15th day of the second month. Now, we're going to determine what time it had to begin. Now, listen to this. If the Sabbath day begin at sunrise, as some suggest and promote, the children of Israel would have been gathering the quail that evening on the weekly Sabbath day, which is against the law of Yahweh to cause them to work on the Sabbath. Now, let's take a look at 16:1-13 as I study and give you a few pointers in the 16th chapter of Exodus. It teaches here how Yahweh spoke to Moses on the 15th day of the second month, telling him that he had heard their murmuring and would give them quail in the evening and manna in the morning. Now, listen to what the scripture said. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speak to them, saying, at even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. Now, listen to this pure, simple logic from the biblical standpoint. The reason that Yahweh waited until evening before giving quail is because the Sabbath day, which Yahweh sanctified and hallowed, that creation would end at evening. And the children of Israel would have not been gathering the quail on the holy time or the holy day. Now, you see that simple logic? He brought the quail in after the evening so that the Sabbath of the 15th would have ended. I don't know why people have trouble with this, but they do. But, you know, if you would come and reason together, saith Yahweh, it would be easy for us to get on the same page, speak the self the same thing, believe the self same thing, and not have any trouble. Our trouble is we refuse to let the Bible do the talking. He's not going to deliver any quail on his holy sanctified Sabbath day for the children of Israel to catch, clean, cook, and eat. And therefore, the 15th day had to have ended at evening, had to begin the evening before. So then, we would say that this scripture would agree and conclude that Yahweh didn't break his own law. He didn't have them gathering quail in the morning time when the day began. If it began that time, and the Sabbath would begin in that morning, he would have had them gathering on the Sabbath day to catch them and clean them and cook them. Now, if you have this erroneous understanding, is that what you want? Do you really want to believe that Yahweh was a sinner and broke his own law? The Bible said sin is a transgression of the law. And the law teaches not to do any work on the Sabbath day. They were not even allowed to gather manna on the Sabbath, let alone the quail. And the sunrise proponents, that's these people that advocate that the day starts in the morning. Hard to understand how they get around this, but they do. Unbelief. Believe in a lie. People can actually believe a lie and be damned. And in order to straighten one's life out, that the lie that they have believed would turn to righteousness and truth. Quail was given and gathered on the holy Shabbat? I don't think so. The quails arrived that night after the weekly Sabbath was over at evening, and it's plain that he would give it to them on the evening, on the beginning of the first day of the week, that they gathered and ate them between the evening. That is, the evening had ended the seventh day, which was the 15th, and the evening that would end the first day of the week, the 16th, if this is not the case, a very serious death penalty. You know, they got killed for gathering wood, sticks, or doing any kind of activities that wasn't authorized on the Sabbath. If they were not allowed to gather manna on the holy day, that'd be the seventh day, they would not be allowed to gather quail Now, if the quails were given on the Holy Sabbath for the people to clean and to eat and to cook, they would have to gather sticks and build a fire and do all these things and actually break the Sabbath. But listen, the people that went out to gather manna on the next Sabbath, which would have been the 22nd, could justifiably say that they gathered the quails on the previous Sabbath, the 15th, and could truthfully say that gathering manna would not be nearly as bad as gathering quails, because you do not have to clean the manna as you would a quail. Now, I don't believe that the quails were gathered on the weekly Sabbath 15th, and neither would anybody didn't want to protect their doctrine or to prop up their morning starting time. Now, the day which ended began again after the evening, the day would begin through the night. Now listen to this. Verse 6. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel at even, then you shall know that Yahweh hath brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said, this shall be when Yahweh shall give you in the evening. He keeps emphasizing that. Flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to be full. Now that bread was the manna. They had to cook and clean the quail, get them prepared for the morning meal. Through the night they worked on the first day of the week, which would have been the evening, beginning the 16th day. Because in verse 13, and it came to pass that at even, in the evening, the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, meaning that they went through the night, that the quails lay round about the host. The Hebrew word for even and evening is the same word for evening in Genesis chapter 1. These verses plainly show that nothing was going to happen until the evening. The reasoning for saying this is the weekly Sabbath would not be over until then, and at even, when the Sabbath ended the 15th day, here came the quails and covered the camp until the dew fell in the morning, and they had the bread, the manna. None of it gathered on a Sabbath. You see what we're talking about here? And you see the reason that I'm giving you here why the day could not begin in the morning? And yet we've got people, some right in here in the faith, that, oh yes, it was starting in the morning. That's when the sun comes up and it begins to build and wax and, you know, all kinds of theories. No scripture that I have ever looked at, and I've studied the Bible for over 50 years. Let me give you another proof. Let's take the sunrise theory. The spices that the Messiah was to be embalmed with conclusively proves that the day could not begin at sunrise and is the same as in the case of Exodus 16. The women brought spices after the Sabbath was over. They brought these spices with them to the grave on the first day of the week, at the 16th. In this case, again, while it was yet dark, or before sunrise, on the same first day of the week. You see, the evening would have begun the first day of the week. Now, they brought the spices to embalm him after the Sabbath was over. After. Look at that word. After the Sabbath was over. It was yet dark, meaning the continuation of the evening before, at sundown, in the even, it begun, the Sabbath ended, but they waited till it got daylight to embalm, and it was after the Sabbath was over. Meaning that the evening before ended the Sabbath. In the evening, same reasoning, and the same reckoning here, that they brought the spices on the first day of the week, early in the morning, before sunrise. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there couldn't have been no time to buy spices after the Sabbath day was over and bring them on the first day of the week at sunrise if the day began and ended at sunrise. Absolutely impossible. Yet the sunrise proponents believe this, and in a sense, when you bring it up, it's an embarrassment to their theories. And so then, we say that the spices at the resurrection, early after the Sabbath was over, early, they thought his body was still there. It wasn't there. They found this out later on. They didn't have any time to buy the spices after the seventh day was over and bring them on the first day of the week at sunrise. If the day had begun and ended at sunrise, it's absolutely impossible. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these questions that we bring up needs an answer. And if your theory that the day begin at sunrise, it won't hold any spices. Like the doctrine, it's like a broken cistern, can't hold no water. Instead of burying the truth in a lot of smoke and mirrors and lengthy fair speeches, here we got a conclusive proof from Scripture and historical evidence why the day cannot begin at sunrise. Now, when was the Last Supper eaten? On the night of the 14th, we all know that our Savior was crucified on the daylight portion of the 14th day. And therefore, the 14th day had to have begun at evening before. He ate the meal. Everybody calls it the Last Supper. Because it was the last meal that he had put in his body. On the day that the lambs are to be slain. Luke 22:7-71 proves, along with Mark 14:12-17, and we know from the Old Testament scriptures that confirms this, that the lambs are slain on the 14th daylight portion. And both these examples I'm citing here, Luke and Mark, teach that they came together at evening, on the day that the Passover lambs are slain. Therefore, they had to have to come together on the night that began the 14th. Because the 14th is the day that the lambs are slain. And he died during the daylight portion of the same day, meaning that it started in the evening and not the morning, as some proponents would profess, as they become what we call tinkling cymbals. You know, they make a lot of racket and a lot of chatter. But the scriptures teach that the day begins at the evening here on the night that began the day on the 14th. When the day began, it was the evening at the end of the 13th day at even, which is changing over to the beginning of the 14th the night before, because he was impaled on the 14th. Remember, he was up at midnight praying. And when the daylight portion of hours come, he was taken to the stockade, the jail, or the judgment hall, the Sanhedrin. And that same 14th day began at even. The next day would have been the light portion of the same 14th day. It had changed the watch in the morning time. It would have been the 15th day, and he would have died on the 15th day instead of the 14th day. Now you know that the scriptures, and that's what I hope you love, they teach that the first day of unleavened bread is on the 15th day of the first month. Leviticus 23 and 6 proves that. And it continues for 7 days in Exodus 12:15. The scriptures teaches that these 7 days shall be observed from the 14th day at evening until the 21st day at evening, according to Exodus 12:17-18. Again, conclusive proof. Notice that it's conclusive that the 15th, which is the first of the 7 days, begins on the 14th day at evening. Why does it have to be so complicated for people? Can't they count? Now, let me point this out to you. If you're listening to me tonight and you really want to know what time it is, and what time you should worship, what time you should begin your worship day, particularly the Sabbath, that's what I'm teaching about, it's very important. You say, well, every day's a Sabbath, Pastor Buddy. Well, that's not true. You work 6 days. You have 6 days to pass before you can get a Sabbath day to come in to view. And it always begins on the 14th day at evening, and then by default and by deductive reasoning, the 14th day would begin on the 13th day at evening, and this absolute proof, and people need to take heed. Now, it's easy to say things like, well, I will prove from Scripture that the 14th day begin on the 13th day at evening. Now, I've just proven from Scripture that the 15th day begin on the 14th day at evening. Our Redeemer, our kinsman Redeemer, that's what he's called, out of the house of Ephraim, was not a Jew, didn't have no Jew blood in him. He was a bona fide Israelite from the house of Ephraim. He ate the last meal before his death on the 14th. Now, he's crucified on the same 14th after sunrise during the daylight. And it can only happen if the day begin at evening. Therefore, the 24-hour day cannot begin at sunrise. If the Last Supper was eaten at the end of the 13th at evening, you can read it there in John 13, which is the beginning of the 24-hour process until it ends at evening, right before the 15th day. And he was already crucified and taken down at the ninth hour, removed, and laid in a grave. On the same 14th day, if the 24-hour does not begin until sunrise, how could he have ate the Last Supper and eaten on the 14th before sunrise and died around 3 o'clock on the same 14th after sunrise? Now, that's your dilemma. That's something that you say, well, now, wait a minute here. That's a pretty strong point Pastor Buddy's got there. Now, let me show you something about the following scripture I'm going to prove. That he ate the last meal on the 14th day at evening, on the day that the lambs are to be slain. The Last Supper, or the last meal, was at the beginning of the 14th. And everyone agrees he was crucified on the 14th at 3 o'clock, which is the preparation day, and the Sabbath, which would begin on the 15th at evening, drew on, got close. They took him down from the torture stake because the Bible says that cursed is he that is left on a tree when evening comes. Now, Mark and Luke, when they're writing about this narrative at the supper, it took place at the beginning of the 14th, which is after the 13th day at evening. That's not too complicated, is it? Now listen to what Mark said in 14, 17 through 18. And in the evening, he cometh with the 12, and they sat and did eat. They didn't wait till the next morning and call it the beginning of the day because he died on the 14th. Something's wrong with the early morning timeline of the day beginning at sunrise. It just can't do that, folks. And then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And when we know that the Passover is killed on the 14th. Therefore, they had to have ate the meal on the beginning of the 14th day, which is at even right after the 13th. Because he died at 3 o'clock, signifying the time clock, the face of the clock. Isn't it interesting that he died at 3 o'clock, the hands at 3? 3 o'clock. And he served his time on the torture stake. They gave him ample time. They came to break his legs like they did the other two. But they noticed he's already dead. And they marveled that he had died so quickly. And so then his body was taken down before 6 o'clock. He was laid in the tomb at the beginning of the 15th day, which again is a proof that he was buried and laid to rest, and it was the Sabbath day. Now we know from Scripture that the Passover lambs are killed on the 14th and eaten that night, which is the 15th. Now on the 14th day at even begins the 15th day, and they didn't have a meal to share with one another, which is at the festival requirements. You don't eat the meal till after sundown. And they were to, after they begin their meal, they were not to leave their homes. And they were to eat it with haste. So they ate the meal on the 15th that began on the 14th day at evening. There it is again. Some say the word first in Mark 14:12 can and should have been translated before. And then the verse would read before the first day of unleavened bread when they killed the Passover. Now, I'm not going to dwell on that and make a big to-do out of it. Before the Last Supper at the beginning of the 14th, which actually began on the 13th day at evening, was the same as the 15th day, actually began on the 14th day at evening, which is the first day of the 7 days of unleavened bread. You see that? So don't believe or don't fall for all these hastily constructed doctrines without biblical background knowledge. Now, most people acknowledge that the 7 days of unleavened bread begin and end at evening, from the 14th day at evening until the 21st day at evening. The 7 days ends at evening, and above all that, I've already demonstrated how the day before, which means the 7 days of unleavened bread, also began and ended at evening, and this domino effect, really, would go all the way back to creation with the same theory that the day begins at evening, and the evening, the day, and the evening and the day was the first day, not the day and the evening. So it don't go around from morning until morning. It goes around from evening to evening. Therefore, unleavened bread begins and ends at evening, and the day before the 7 days of unleavened bread begins, it ends at evening by default. And the other days follow the suit all the way back to creation, where he said the evening and the morning were the first day, for there was evening and there was morning day one. Why should he change his timepiece from Genesis chapter 1? He don't. Why should he change his calendar? He don't. Will he ever? No, he won't. He's forever settled. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken away. You can prove Yahweh with the truth. You cannot prop up a lie with more lies, because the Word won't agree with it. Now, we just got through demonstrating how the Savior ate the last meal on the evening of the 14th and was crucified on the morning of the same 14th, on the evening of the 14th. That's the beginning of the 14th. Remember that? And all through the night, he's praying in the garden. He's asking for assistance in prayer. Nobody is able to stay up with him. He knows it's his time, is drawing nigh, that they're going to take him to the court. They're going to convict him of treason and blasphemy that they had a warrant on him for a long time, because he spoke the name of the Creator twice in the book of Isaiah. Now, let me give you another thought here. You can't even have a third day resurrection with the sunrise theory, and the scriptures clearly teaches that he must rise the third day. Consider this. The day begins at sunrise, or only begins in the morning, and consists only of 12 hours. Now, I'm going to agree by definition. The word day consists of only 12 hours. But when this same word is studied in different contexts and the totality of Scripture, you can see that it has several meanings. Our Messiah died on the 14th day of the festival of the slaughter of the lambs. And with the lambs being slaughtered, they had been slaughtered for centuries since he had established this as a precedent. Now, for those who reckon that the day from sunrise to sunrise, the Messiah died on the 14th at even. And when the evening of the 14th came afterwards, when the weekly Sabbath began in the morning of the 15th at sunrise, it poses a serious problem when it comes to the resurrection day of the Messiah. If the first day of the week will not begin until sunrise of the 16th, then the Messiah would have resurrected before sunrise on the second day instead of the third day. You see that? It's another case in point. Plane is falling off a log. I don't know why you people have so much trouble with the lunar Sabbath and with the evening to evening day beginning and ending. All of the gospel accounts are in agreement. When the women came to the tomb, it was early in the morning, after the Sabbath. And the gospel according to John, again in 20th chapter, tells us that this occurred while it was yet dark. How can it be then that the Messiah rose the third day according to the scriptures if he rose before the third day began with the morning theory? The day of his death, the 14th, would be one day, and the day of the Sabbath, the 15th, would be day two, and day three would not begin until sunrise on the 16th for the sunrise to sunrise proponents to prove their doctrine. This means it's an impossibility for this theology to align with the understanding that the Bible teaches that the third day resurrection predicted by the Messiah himself over 10 times, collaborated by the apostles, even Paul in Corinthians 15:1-4. That's not to mention that this teaching also has the Messiah rising on the Sabbath rather than the first day of the week. A teaching that shows a similarity with the 72-hour morning proponents. The scriptures make it very clear that the shift of first fruits, the barley, was not to be waved on the morrow after the Sabbath. Read that in Leviticus 23:10-16. Read it. And not on the Sabbath itself. A sunrise to sunrise view has our Messiah resurrected on the Sabbath, the second day, instead of the morrow after the Sabbath on the third day, as the scriptures teach. Now, ladies and gentlemen, are you really, if you believe that the morning to morning day begins on the solar, or if you believe the Gregorian calendar midnight to midnight, you know, they've gone out of their way to practice this sorcery and witchcraft of changing times and laws. It ought not to be. Now, when one day begins at morning and ends at dusk, it would have put the Messiah rising on a noon day during the night. And the teaching that the Messiah not rising on the Sabbath or the first day of the week, the third day, but on what they consider or to be a day at all. The 12 noon people have the same problems. The midnight people are not even close. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a definite problem with time. Daniel 7:25 tells us clearly that the devil, who desired to set upon the congregation, the mount, over the headship, in other words, headship over the day he appointed instead of the day that Yahweh appointed, and change times and law. Brought to you courtesy 46 B.C., when Julius Caesar began this complicated mathematical work on it, let it evolve, and finally we'll get it right or down to a science. And today, most people go by the Gregorian calendar. Saturday don't come until the calendar says so. The Sabbath don't come until the calendar says so. But what about the Bible? Well, they ignore the Bible. They won't even use it as a point of reference. Some say that the Messiah resurrected the split second that the daylight hours began on the 16th. But that's unsound. All four gospel accounts agree that the women came to the tomb very early in the morning while it was yet dark. And another says, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Now, these gospel accounts show that the women were amazed that he was not there. You got that? He's already risen. Well, this complicates if he had to wait to raise at the morning hours. Or it even complicates his father, as I said, when the time would begin at midnight or 12 noon. We got those proponents of 12 noon. He'd already risen prior to the daylight hours. But it says it was still on the third day according to the evening view. But the second day according to the sunrise or the 12 noon view. Now you see from what I just gave you that the sunrise proponents cannot have a third day resurrection, and this alone kills the sunrise doctrine. Let me give you something else. Numbers 19:16. I done quoted you that he had to be taken down at a particular time. It teaches that a man that touches a dead body shall be unclean for 7 days. And in verse 19, it teaches the seventh day ended at evening. Therefore, all the 7 24-hour days ended in a continuous cycle at evening. And obviously, we're talking about a 24-hour day period. Verse 19, again, says, and on the seventh day he shall purify himself and wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and shall be clean only at even. Now, if he had to wait till the next day, Yahweh said he's going to be clean at evening, and these proponents of a early morning deal, they say it just don't add up. Nothing. No scriptures will agree with them. Now, they act like they got some, but they don't have. When you boil it down and strain it through the filters of understanding, here again it says, he shall be clean at evening. If the seventh day ended at sunrise, instead of evening, that would be only 6.5 days of being unclean instead of 7 days. You'd be a half day short, disobeying the scriptures. But if the seventh day ended at evening, when the man was to be made clean, it would be a full 7 days of being unclean, as verse 19 teaches. Now, again, this alone disproves the day beginning at sunrise. Remember, the man was made clean at evening on the full seventh-day cycle, according to Scripture, not sunrise. Now, in Genesis 8:3 says, and it was the end of the 150 days that the waters were abated. And verse 11 says, that the dove came to Noah in the evening and that he knew that the waters had abated off the face of the earth. These 150 days were 24-hour cycle periods that ended at evening continuously when the dove returned in the evening. You got that? It's another citation of Revelation. Now, let's go to the book of Judges. Let me give you a little thing here. Samson made a bet that he presented a riddle to him, and he couldn't answer it within a period of 7 days. In verse 18, the riddle was answered within the seven-day period. Verse 18 says, "And the men of the city said unto him, the seventh day before the sun went down." They answered the riddle before sundown on the seventh day. Why was the phrase "before the sun went down" used? Unless it emphasized that the time would have been up at sundown, but they answered it before the seventh day ended. It ended the 7 days that they were allotted to answer the riddle. Now, you've got a deadline, and you're to keep it, and you wait until a period that is not koshered or true, and the deadline goes by, and you're still waiting for it to happen, and everything in the Scripture has been defeated. Like saying, "And the man of the city sent unto him on the seventh day before 12 midnight." The reason for this is because in today's speech, the day ends at 12 midnight, and back then they used sundown to end the day, and everybody understood it, instead of 12 midnight. You see what I'm talking about? They did not have to add "before the sun went down." They could have just said they answered it within the 7 day period. They were merely stressing that the riddle was answered before the 7 days were up at sundown. And when you couple that with Numbers 19 and these other that I've cited you, it concludes conclusively that the 24-hour period cannot scripturally begin at morning or at midnight or at noon. Now, why should you let anybody waste your time if they won't cite biblical, historical, and evidences that are related to the truth? Now, here's another way to find the truth. The Jews understood when a day began, and they understood when it ended. And if we go back there, we should not accept modern history, but when you go back to the time of the Messiah and read the writings of those that lived in that day, it gives you an understanding of how the writers of those days understood the writings and to say, and the historical evidence teaches that the seventh day ended at evening. Because that's what Josephus said in The Wars of the Jews, Book 4, Chapter 9, page 582. After he had taken Adaria, made preparation for the siege of Jerusalem, but that upon his hearing of the death of Nero, he changed his intentions. But having the advantage of the situation and having withal erected four very large towers beforehand, that their darts might come from higher places, one at the northeast corner of the court, one above, the third at another corner, and over against the lower city, on page 582 his side, the last one was erected above the top of the gate. And when one of the priests stood up, of course, and gave a signal beforehand that the trumpet at the beginning of every seventh day in the evening twilight. Here's some historical evidence that we cite that at the end of the cycle, in the evening twilight. Now they gave notice to the people that when they were to leave off work and when they were to go back to work. These men set their engines to cast darts and stones as they assaulted the city with their archers and slingers. Josephus is saying that the trumpet was blown at evening, which is the beginning of every seventh day, and at the ending of every seventh day for the people to go back to work again. Now remember that Josephus is writing during the time of the destruction of the temple, when the priesthood was still active and the temple was still standing, which conclusively proves that the Jews, even at this time, understood that the day began and ends in the evening and consists of 24 hours. Now, I could cite the Dead Sea Scrolls for another bit of historical evidence, and I'll do that. It proves that the day ends at evening and the weeks were originally connected to the moon, as we read fragments of lunar days 4 through 25, which were uncovered at Qumran, describing the moon's appearance and movements in relationship to the sun and the ancient weeks. It also revealed how they understood when a day began. And the Dead Sea Scrolls to translate the fragment for lunar days as follows in 4Q317 on the 8th of the month, Kodesh. The moon rules all the day in the midst of the sky. And when the sun sets, its light ceases to be obscured. And thus the moon begins to be revealed on the first day of the week. Not only proves that the 8th of the month was always the 7th day of the week in the Sabbath, but it's conclusive evidence from the Dead Sea Scrolls that proves that the 9th day of each month is the first day of the week and begins at sunset. It's an absolute when using this historical deductive reasoning, and that should prove to us. It teaches the 8th day before the sun sets. And when the sun sets, it begins the 9th day. Proves that they understood that the day passed from the 8th day, the Sabbath ending, to the 9th day at sunset, not sunrise. Remember, it's all in harmony with the scriptures that I've done cited for you, and even the historical enlightenment of these were to agree. And it's so plain that you can't be deceived in this, folks, if you'll take the word. You can be deceived if you want to follow tradition. You want to follow the Gregorian calendar and start at midnight. Whenever you want to do it, do it. But in doing so, you will have to walk over this evidence and trip. And the Bible said, whosoever falls on this stone, which is the truth of the word, it'll grind you to powder. But if you'll study the scriptures, it's impossible for you to be deceived. Now, people that have devoted their lives writing history, let's take Moses. They assembled at the end of 7 weeks. Now, it proved not only that the simple week of 7 days, but also multiplied the power, for they know it had to be pure and always virgin. And it's a prelude and a kind of forefeast of the greatest feast, which is assigned to the number 50, the most holy and natural of numbers, being compounded of the power of the right-angled triangle, which is the principle of the origination and condition of the whole. Therefore, when they came together, clothed in white garments, and joyful with the most exceedingly joy, and when each individual has finished his psalm, when the young men bring in the table, which was mentioned a little while ago to you, which was placed the most holy food of the leavened bread, and with a season of salt, with which hyssop is mingled, out of the reverence for the sacred table, which lies thus in the holy outer temple, becoming the simplest and purest things, and should be allotted to the most excellent portion of the priests for a reward and for their ministrations, and that the others should admire these similar things, but should abstain from the loaves in order that those who are the more excellent person may have the preeminence. Now, this sacred festival during the whole night, and this nautical festival is celebrated in the following manner. This sacred festival begins at the end of 7 weeks, which was at night or even when the day began. Inclusive proof that even the Jews of our Savior's day understood that the day ends at evening and begins another 24-hour space of time. And no one, I don't think, could dare refute. But the sunrise doctrine, it's new. Not sound, not found in scripture or history, and if it could be, I would not be able to say that. When he said, let there be light, the light appeared with the beginning of day one, and the darkness that was up on the earth was not part of the first 24 hour, if they're right. But are they forgetting something? When light appeared on one side of the earth, whether on day one, day four, or day seven, and begin to move around the earth, would not there still be darkness on the other side of the earth on day one? Of course. And when he began resting on the seventh day, what side of the earth was he speaking from? If the seventh day began at sunrise, did he begin resting at sunrise or at evening? Now, some of the things that, ladies and gentlemen, that we're bringing up tonight, we want you to get the truth and we want you to receive it. We want you to know when to begin. We want you to know when to, like the old song says, when to hold it, when to fold it. You could be deceived by not knowing that the day could not begin at sunrise. I'd give you conclusive proof scripturally. They couldn't. And I hope and trust that this will awaken you, some of you, or any of you, which will be awakened, and understand from the rising of the sun to the going down the same, that this truth is forever settled and nothing can be added to it and nothing taken away. You're listening to Pastor Buddy tonight. My time is coming on here. So I'm going to have to be getting on down the road. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WWCR 4840, beginning at 9 Eastern Standard Time. That'll be 8 o'clock on your central time zone. So we'll see you tomorrow night. We could have some more interesting facts about biblical things that have passed by a lot of people. I'm sponsored tonight by my sponsors, Brother Paul, 1-800-253-2748. Give Brother Paul a call and tell him I sent you. You hear Pastor Buddy talking about his sponsor. Also, Brother Mark, Sister Audrey, Brother Ed, and Brother Bud down in the great state of Mississippi. We are thankful for their support and sponsoring exclusively our program here tonight. Praise Yahweh. If you would like to go to our website and I would that you would, over 40,000 people have visited in a short time. See what they're finding on oneyahweh.com. That's oneyahweh.com. www.oneyahweh.com. That'll take you to our website. We have our contact information. We have messages by the hundreds posted 4 hours. Every message is an hour. We have hundreds of them posted up there. Brother Bob does. Works on the website exclusively and keeps it up to date. All of our messages are up to date, except this one tonight. It'll be up as soon as Brother Bob gets it posted, which will be sometime tomorrow, no doubt. He's not preoccupied or on a journey, and I don't think he is. But anyway, tune in, if you will, to Pastor Buddy tomorrow night around the world, 4840 WWCR, the transmitting jewel of the South. You'll hear exclusively the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy, and we'll see you then. May Yahweh bountifully bless you. May He give you understanding of the conclusive proof that I've presented to you tonight, that time begins in the evening, not daybreak, not when the sun comes up, but when the sun goes down at even. Always has, always will. I don't know. Yahweh done these things for His own purposes. I can't question Him. I'm not saying I'd have done it that way if I'd have been Yahweh. But I know how Yahweh done it, and it's provable beyond a shadow of doubt. Well, I got to get out of here. My time is coming down. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you tomorrow night, 4840 WWCR. Pastor Buddy.